A lot of us complain about our boss. I'm constantly grunting about Stephen, even though technically he's not my boss, and about their attitude and behaviour. Sometimes you might even call them a bit psychopathic, but perhaps you're not that far from the truth, according to some new research. In fact, one in three people at the top of organisations can have psychopathic tendencies. I spoke to Terence Mowry, author of The Leader's Mindset, and started by asking exactly what a psycho is.
The basic definition is someone who manifests extreme unethical behaviour. You know, they're impulsive, they lie, they cover up. But in reality, there's different psychopaths along the whole spectrum.
So it's not quite as straightforward as people would like to assume. Because I was reading this article as well from The Telegraph. It's a bit worrying, if I'm honest.
1,000 people and 21% had psychopathic traits, which equated to 261.
Right.
But you're right. Basically, it's even more with the CEO. So with CEOs, it's more likely to be one in three. And we're not talking about a psychopath in terms of somebody who's going to murder you.
Yes.
But, you know, these qualities, charming, cunning, chameleon, ego, risk taker, ruthless, driven. That sounds like a CEO, doesn't it?
It does.
And so the capitalist system rewards those behaviours. And that's why they're able to thrive in companies at the expense often of honesty, you know, the Joe Public on the street. You know, we've seen it over the last few years again and again, these big companies, big corporates, too much excessive risk-taking, and then normal people lose out.
Yeah, the ones possibly further down the ladder. And you've got things like recruiters, they tend to focus on the skills rather than those personality traits. So that means...
Yeah, and you think about it, like if you're in an interview, guess who does really well at interviews?
Psychopaths.
They can think on their, you know, they can make things up on the spot. They're going to charm the pants off you. You know, they're going to come across as the most confident. So, you know, I'm not saying that they're all bad, because ultimately... Some of these qualities from the research can actually be, so for example, you know, they could be like a hero. They could, you know, they're more likely to jump and try and save somebody because they want to look good.
Yeah, so all these traits then, bits and pieces of them can be, if you single them out, they can be quite positive. But when you put them in this big package, and you've alluded to this already as well, that when you think of the people in these high positions, it can be quite often the people below them that will then be affected. Because if you're one way, whatever type of person and personality that you have, if your boss or someone who has control over your life is a bit of a psychopath, then they, you know, they might impose difficult working conditions, hours, you know, a whole ream of things. Make you miserable.
Micromanagement. I heard a story. I was in my book, one of the stories which I talk about, and an employee was locked in the appraisal in a meeting room by the boss.
Right.
Yeah, literally. This actually, I won't mention names on the radio, but the manager got sacked. But his manager, like, obviously had these traits. And because he was so angry with this individual, he decided to punish him and literally locked him in this meeting room for about 3 hours.
That's unbelievable.
And it really happened.
Tell us, Terence, about some kind of strategies, I guess, to survive if you do find yourself with a boss like this or just someone else in your life that you've got contact, you've got interaction with.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, you've got to basically take a step back, first of all. One, you've got to stand up for yourself, so stand up for your rights. Two, what I say is attack the problem, not the person. Exactly what the root cause is of the behaviour. Because we've got to be careful about stereotyping people or putting them in boxes too early. Are they under stress? Are they going through a really difficult divorce? So we need to almost act like a doctor and try and find out through questioning, listening, understanding that person's background, what is causing that behaviour, because we don't want to misdiagnose their behaviours. So that's number two. And then number three, you need to seek help. I mean, that could be talking to a colleague, a boss, a family member, use your team. Many companies now have helpline numbers. We've also got the 2010 Equality Act, you know, which is a law which is meant to protect employees from bullying and narcissism and all of these sorts of dark behaviours that we find in companies.
It is scary. This is something that people can often laugh about, joke about. We sometimes throw the word psychopath or you're a bit mad or a bit mental around, but this is something that could have a really negative impact on your life. Or there could, Terence, be people listening to this tonight and saying, that sounds a bit like me.
Yes, I mean, it's meant to be a wake-up call when people read that research. There's also a test that people can do online called the Psychopathic Personality Inventory, the PPI. And in fact, there's an Oxford professor, Dr. Kevin Dutton at Oxford University, who applied this test to some well-known leaders in the world, including, Saddam Hussein, Hitler, Donald Trump. So Saddam Hussein scored 189 points. He had the highest psychopathic score.
Okay.
Second, so you've got to guess, would the second person be Trump or Hitler? What do you think?
Oh, I am slightly afraid. I want to say Hitler because he is dead and I feel like I would get in less trouble. Let's say Hitler.
It was actually Trump.
Oh, dear.
He scored 171 points and then Hitler was 2 points below that at 169. But, to answer your question, listeners could do the test as well. I think they need to be self-aware. We're often focusing on our strengths, but what are our blind spots? We're often blind to our own blindness. I don't like using the word feedback, but, getting some useful, comments back from others who know you well about areas that might be damaged, so self-sabotaging.
It is fascinating. And just before we finish tonight, Terence, just a few quick-fire signs for people to look out for if this has pricked up their ears tonight and they're thinking, you know what, there's some people that could fit into that category, or maybe it's myself. So signs to look out for.
I call it the three C's. Too charming, too cunning, too much of a chameleon. If you're ticking those boxes for yourself or for a colleague or a boss, it may be that there's some underlying psychopathic traits. Of course, though, we have to be cautious about stereotyping or putting people in boxes. But these are people that also, they have an inability to empathize. There's a level of superficiality. Also, sometimes they'll do anything to cover up their tracks or to look good. Very big egos, very fearless. And of course, many companies reward those sorts of behaviors. So it's not easy, but the simple truth is we've all got a duty of care to help each other and get on and respect each other in life.
This is all an element of mental health, whether we're saying it's positive or negative, or certain elements are one thing or the other, which is why I guess you're talking about not stereotyping people. But it's all in that big pot of mental health, which we're still trying to get our heads around and to have a really in-depth understanding of.
We're only touching the surface. Statistically, 1 in 3 employees have been bullied at some point in their career. We've got, studies coming out from, prestigious institutions around the world saying, potentially 1 in 5 CEOs, managers are psychopaths as well. We need to do a lot. We need to spend a lot more time understanding, the consequences of these behaviors, the environments that produce them. Also, the incentives and structures and reward mechanisms that we have in businesses that often inadvertently encourage those behaviors.
Now,